Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. This is Anything Goes, where we talk to media people from all walks of this planet, of all walks of media. Tonight, I've known this woman, I don't want to say how many years, but long enough. She is, I can say that legally, okay? I've got the license to say it, okay. But this lady is a funny lady. I've known her before she was a comedian, and I've known her now that she is a comedian. She is funny. God, she makes me laugh sometimes without even trying. And I don't mean on tragedy things. But the ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard her comedy, if you haven't heard her, her name is Shawn Fisher, and she is, how can I say it? She's a good person, and I want to hear what she has to say. Good evening, Shawn.
Good evening, Bennett. And I
oh my God,
how long,
she sounds
how
beautiful
long
too.
We've known.
I didn't say I want to live. Thank you very much. I told the person once that I've known him for 20 years, and they said, "How dare you?" And I said, "What do you mean? I don't want them to think what? I'm that old."
Well, I have no problem with my age. I treasure every single second, minute, hour, month, year that I've had on this, you know, rolling blue ball. And so for me, I love it, and I'm constantly, you know, people always say, "Oh, you look great for your age," and I do a little snap back and say, "I look great for any age." So. You know, so
well, let's head this way. I've known you before the Stone Age, right? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You knew me before I had children. So.
Yeah, I can say that. Oh, my God, I feel old now.
Yeah. You are the godfather to my two adult sons, who wish you well, by the way. They send their love.
Thank you very much. Now, let's talk about... Okay, we have a couple of questions here. Janice from Pennsylvania asks me, how did you get into comedy?
Oh, thanks, James. Thanks for calling in.
Janice,
I'm so sorry, Janice. I have this bucket list. I call it another name, but, you know, rhyme it with bucket, and there you have it. And I'm always checking off things. I'm always adding to it. I believe that we're always growing, so why not? Stand-up comedy was always one of those things that I wanted to try. And it took me a long time in life to get out of the way of my own self and step into my own success. About 3.5 years ago, one of my mentors, a comedian in their own right, had another class that they were giving, and it's called In Laughing Color, and it's specifically geared towards the LGBTQ community as far as allowing us to have a voice and also people of color. I was graciously allowed to be a part of that. For me, I think it's very important to take classes if you want to be on stage for two reasons. One, it helps you get feedback from folks, how you're doing. I mean, I didn't even realize a lot of times just in my corporate gig how much I had a stick put up my bum until I saw myself on tape. And nobody doubted my sincerity, but I was too serious. That's kind of funny coming from a comedian. And secondly, it teaches us timing. I think everyone is funny. Everyone has a story. We are all natural storytellers. But we don't realize how long those stories take until we're up on stage and we're like, "Hey, you only have 5 minutes. You only have this." And if we want to get invited back, especially when we're starting out, really have to stick to those timelines. So it's finding the funny in our stories and being able to connect to the audience. So classes are a really great way to enable us to share our stories in a very effective way. And that's what I did. And at the end of our classes, there was a showcase. And so as soon as I heard the first laugh, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, maybe this will work out. I had no intentions of going further with it. I had been a singer since I was 6 years old. I had been a host. I'd done a wide variety of things. But people kept asking me to do things. And so the following year, I kept saying yes. And then the year after that, I said, I'm going to create more opportunities for myself and produce more, host more, put myself out there if I saw opportunities, ask for it. And then it became that whenever I traveled, I would connect with comedy clubs and ask them if they had open mics or if they had availability on a bill that, you know, where I could be. And I had enough references from producers or clubs or videotape the sets that I could put myself out there. Now I have a fine list of rejections to festivals thus far, but that's my next thing, is to get into a festival as a stand-up comedian. I'm into improv groups, and I've been in festivals with those groups, but I've not been in as a stand-up comedian yet. So always aspiring, always trying to get something else under my belt.
Mm-hmm. So, not to sound rude, where's your next gig?
My next gig is Wednesday at Uproar in D.C. It's a monthly showcase. It's a new one. The host is Gabriel Ross. He's amazing. And it's a free show. I typically tend to have my shows on my Facebook page and my Instagram page. I can provide that information at the end. Folks are getting on to me to have Facebook page.
People catch the show in the middle of, like, the show's at 6:30. At 6:45, they turn it on and go, let's listen.
Yeah, at the end of the show.
Give it to them now, and then we'll give it to them later, too.
Absolutely, I'll do that. And then also, my one improv group, All in Pitches, is in a show this Saturday at Dojo Comedy in D.C., and then we're in another show next Saturday at Dojo. It's a marathon show. It's a 12-hour marathon show. Groups from all over are participating in a 12-hour marathon improv festival. So you can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at IAMSCG, that's Sean Catherine Glass, Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. And then you can find me on Facebook, Sean Fisher. You'll know it's me because it's a lavender-haired chick with a skull behind her.
She looks good, trust me. I can say that. Now, let me ask you, what's funny to you?
Oh, golly. Oh, anything from the mundane to the morbid. I tend to find humor in most anything. I am not someone who enjoys humiliating people or in being humiliated. I had enough of that growing up, so it's a huge source of discomfort for me. I don't enjoy watching that. I'm not a fan of Schadenfreude, you know, or anything like that. So for me, it's Apocalypse is one of my favorite nicknames for myself. So I am always being greeted by doors and floors, and you know, a big thing is I ran the Marine Corps Marathon 10K this year. And
yes, I know. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, on the second turn, which wasn't even probably 0.2 or 0.3 of a mile, I fell. And, you know, I, at the time, I didn't know that I had broken 3 bones in my body. But I got up and I soldiered on. And There's videotape of me crossing the line and I'm dragging myself. There's probably some footage of me where I thought I had finished. And one of the medics who had assisted me at the beginning of the line where I first fell was there waiting for me. And he's like, oh, my gosh, Sean. I was like, Jeff, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm here to cheer you on. I wanted to make sure you made it. And he said, you just have to get up this hill. And I said, bleepity bleep bleep you, Jeff. And you know, there were children
and
all around.
And she knows me.
Huge
well,
event.
She kept it clean.
I was letting off the expletives because I did not think I was going to make it up that hill. At this point, I'm kind of staggering, and the crowd's like, you can do it, you can do it. I'm kind of bleeping the crowd, too. And other folks who were, like, laughing me, who probably shouldn't have been laughing me, were like, lady, you know, put your grip, griping, just come on. And I'm like, shut up, people. You know, so to me, those humorous things that happen in my life are funny, and any type of thing that I can, when people share their funny stories with me, I'm laughing because I believe that humor is a great healer. So whatever other folks are finding funny, I'm going to find funny in it. I think kids, animals, anything in nature, is that because it's organic, right? It's not.
I understand. I got to talk about this. Because somebody who knows you, and I'm not going to say who, I want to live, has said, Sean, tell us about your appendix.
My appendix?
Your problem that you had surgery on.
You mean the one, what I did? No, because my appendix happened when I was 8 years old, and it ruptured, and I died on the operating table. I'm thinking when I talk about the problem. We're talking about Gerald, my gallbladder that I just had out.
Gallbladder, sorry.
And I can probably
slap this person later. It'll be slapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
So two humorous things that happened with that is my first surgeon fired me. He broke up with me. And interesting how that happened. I felt as if I was giving him a therapy session during the whole thing and wound up where he never got to charge me a penny because I had the scribe repeat back him going on about his feelings and then saying, I wanted to see the look on your face when I told you this. So there was that, and it was in writing. So I said, you're never going to charge me a dime, and I'm going to make sure my insurance company has these notes. So there was that. But the follow-up from that was, after the surgery, I got the stomach flu very bad, and for one day, 18 hours, all I could do was sleep. But apparently, in that state of sickness, I called him, and I said, Dr. Inane, which is what I called him, but not to his face at that point, I'm so glad you never laid a hand on me. If I could go back in time, I never would have met you. I wish I could take it all back. I would boil rice one grain at a time to get back all of that. And OP number two, my youngest son, was walking in and staring at me in horror and just walked out knowing that he would have to tell me about this conversation later. So there's that. But I had to go through all this rigmarole with this surgeon because of some sort of, I don't know, ego trip. He was one of those people that he has such an ego and then such a chip on his shoulder that he walked so upright and his shoulders were so tight from the chips he was carrying, kind of had that kind of walk to him, if you can imagine it. I can do it better in person, but just imagine it. He reminded me of every kind of English professor. Yeah, every kind of English professor you see in any movie. That's who he reminded me of, you know, just that kind of second second-rate person. But then I met my fabulous doctors who vindicated me, that saying, yes, Gerald should have been evicted a long time ago. I don't know why you had to jump through these hoops with this person. So doctor in name, you know, got his comeuppance. And, you know, I apparently made people laugh in horror when I told them that story. And he's not coming after me that I know of. I don't know if there's a statute of limitations of leaving a, you know, a nasty phone message. So,
I think it's 7 years, but we don't know.
Is it? Is it? Oh, my God.
I'll ask it on the legal show with this Thursday
with
Sarah, who's my lovely, or she's the host. I'm just basically the one that leads the questions.
Well, you know, if TSA can't come after me after what I did with them, you know, and I got out of paying a fine with TSA, then I don't think Dr. Inane can come after me. So.
I don't think so. So, okay, Gail asks this question. He says, when are you writing a book?
Hey, Gail, I think that Bennett put you up to asking that question.
No, I did not answer. No, I have 12 questions here, and I'm going through them, but I do not set people up with questions. Not on this show.
I've been into wonderful anthologies, and I'm thankful to have been with that with very strong women. And I... When I was 8 years old, all I wanted to be was a writer. That's it. I was very altruistic about it. I just want to make enough money to have my little cabin in the woods, by the mountains, by a lake, total Thoreau type of existence. And as I got older, you know, I got more into the corporate world, life pulled me in 10 million directions. As I stated, I didn't really step into my success until my early 50s. And I didn't have faith in myself. And people would not have known that looking at me. They would not have known that, you know, I was my biggest detractor. So I think that I will write a book once I am at a point where I can really believe I can contribute something. There's so many great people out there now.
I'm making the same promise I've made three other authors, and three other authors have taken me up on it. I'll write the foreword. You write the book. I'll write the foreword.
I know. You said that. You said that for many years. I don't want to think as if I'm putting myself down. I think I have a lot of funny stories. I think that there are, you know, many, many things that I could write on. And what I thought I would write on years ago has shifted because I myself have grown up and I've unpacked a lot of things. I like to think that my baggage is now kind of a little valet that I can tuck under the seat in front of me rather than the Joe versus the Volcano steamer trunks, if you get that movie reference.
Tom Hanks, for those who don't know, look it up on IMDb. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I really try not to make movie references or book writing, because not everybody's seen everything, but so this big old steamer trunk, I don't have that type of baggage anymore. And so I really have to think of what voice I'm going to have out there, Gail. And I think that I will know. There will come a time when I will absolutely 100% know, and at that point, the words will come to me. That's how it is with most of the things that I do, in my spoken word, in my poetry, in my set. Whenever I do my best work, there is this 100% sense of knowing that it's
okay.
the right path.
Anastasia has a question. I get all the wonderful questions. I get to ask them. Anastasia asked, how do you create a routine, a bit, or whatever you want to call it?
Okay. Thanks, Anastasia. I would say that, 99.99% of my bits, my sets, are based in truth. And the other 0.001% is probably just a tad bit of exaggeration. But Bennett can tell you, I really don't need to exaggerate much because stuff really awesome, incredible, wackadoodle things happen in my life. Yeah, I am in just the most wacky situations you can imagine, and that makes for great stories. And again, so then
I've
goes back to my training.
I'm a witness.
Yeah, yeah. So then it goes back to my training of how much time do I have? You know, I can have anywhere from 5 minutes to 25 minutes for a set, and so that's going to dictate whether I'm going to share one story or if I'm going to weave in more story, more bits or something. And at the same time, I need to be able to connect with the audience at any given time, at any given, evening or situation, event. So it's good for me to have two or three sets in my back pocket. If the audience isn't resonating with what I'm putting out there, then I want to be able to change tactics. I want to be able to speak to them. It's one of the reasons why, truthfully, I don't like to go first. Unless I'm hosting, because hosting is awesome. I get to be funny. I get to introduce amazing people and say great things about them. Then I can feed off of everything that they've laid out. I can speak to what they've done, share a little anecdote about it. So that's really cool. And then I'll have my own time. But I usually like to go like from fourth onward, because then I've seen how the audience has been and I can tell whether what I have thought I'm going to present is going to work or if I need to bring out something else. And again, it just goes back to situations that have happened in my life, whether it's recent or if I am doing a charity event, if it's something that I can speak to of that charity, again, trying to find the funny. Or if it's something that's in the community, I am queer, and so I have a lot of stories about that. I like to say that I'm a lover of all humanity and a taste the rainbow kind of lover. So my stories have a depth and breadth to them as far as dating and relationships and things along those lines. And because I am a senior citizen, I am over 50, I have my AARP card, and that brings a lot of other, dimensions into my bits now, too. And so that's where it is. I get it from everyday life. And what's really great, being an introvert, you wouldn't think this, but a lot of my friends who are stand-up comedians are like I am, and we are introverts. One of the ways that we can get out of parties is if someone's really hassling, oh, we really want you to come, please attend. I'm like, yeah, I need some new bits for my, I need some new material. As soon as you say that to somebody, you are off the guest list. So if you're ever thinking of being a comedian and you are an introvert and people are bugging you to attend their shindig, just say, I need new material, and you will not have to go there. You can stay at home with your favorite book or TV show.
Chad has a comment, and his comment is, I saw you at an open mic a few weeks ago. I don't know which one, Chad, but okay. And you were great. So this is what his comment.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, Chad.
But
it's very kind of you.
We have 5 minutes of the hour or 5 minutes of the show. I want you to give the website, how they can get a hold of you, And they can, if you, you know, whatever, see, they know how to get a hold of you and find out your next shows and where to see you and all the nice things.
Okay. Well, thanks all of you for dialing in, whether you ask questions or you're listening. I am always open to people connecting with me. Again, I think that we are all connected through our shared humanity, and I am incredibly blessed by, you know, everybody who is in my life. I have one friend who says that I collect people, and to me there's no higher honor than to have people in my life who share their selves with me. So I can be reached at on Instagram and Twitter at I am S as in Sean, C as in Catherine, G as in Glass, Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. And you can find me on Facebook at Sean Fisher. I am the lavender-haired lady with a picture of a skull behind me. And if you can't add me as a friend, please feel free to send me a message. And I do check my filtered messages usually on a weekly basis. And if you have connected, just say, hey, I heard you on Anything Goes, and I am happy to connect with you. And I tend to list my shows. I have more coming up now. I've been traveling, so I'm trying to put together a little poster that says, hey, catch me here, and I have the dates and times and clubs. I will be at Uproar in D.C. this Wednesday at 8 p.m., and it is a free show. My improv team, All In Pitches, will be at Dojo Comedy this Saturday, the 11th, and next Saturday, the 18th. We don't go on until 10 p.m. on the 18th. We're part of a 12-hour marathon festival. I would highly recommend that you go to Dojo at any time and see any of the acts. They are all phenomenal. Other than that, I am working on some shows for Pride. I'll probably be busy almost every day or every evening in June. There are a lot of benefit shows. I'm doing a lot of benefit shows for the Trevor Project, for Smiles. All of these are for LGBTQ youth organizations. These are great organizations that do wonderful work with our youth that work on broken shoestring budgets. I do a lot of work with a lot of women's organizations and also with MS, multiple sclerosis. So,
understand. Let me, I want to thank you for coming today. Really.
Oh, my gosh, Bennett. Thank you so much, bro. I'm so happy to do this, and I'm so honored that you asked. And I'm so thankful for everybody who called in.
My pleasure. One thing I want to say to you, and I will say this, you need to record a comedy album. Okay, I can say that with about a minute left, I can say this. You need to record a comedy album. This lady is funny. I told her the book, she needs a book. Somebody else told me that she needs a book. But, you know, she is funny. And I can't wait to... I want to read the first
Chad
book.
Chad will get this.
We have about a minute left. Let me say, next
Chad
week we will
this.
Be here. Next week we have a lovely show where the guest will be to be announced. Yeah, that's not the person's name. But Dave will be here. We will be here on Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. So, good night. Be well. Good night. And before I forget, people, if you find out where this lady is, go see her. She's excellent. I'm allowed to say that, okay? I'm prejudiced.
Thank you.
So, I'm allowed. So, everybody be well. I will see you all next week. Good night.
Peace out.